We have a curated list of words that people want to eliminate from the English language. And fair warning, our conversation about banished words is totes going to annoy you. We just have to lean in. This is The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. Lake Superior State University is out with the latest list of words banished from the Queen's English for misuse, overuse, and general uselessness. And you can join in as we love to hate these phrases we just can't seem to shake. What words annoy you the most? What's your least favorite word or phrase of all time? What bothers you about the way we use the English language? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Mary McMinn is an associate professor of English and creative writing at Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, and she's a member of the school's Banished Words List Committee. Mary, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
Help us understand, before we start going through the list, how you even decide which words make it.
Well, there's a committee who reviews all of the nominations that come in from all over the country. We've even gotten nominations this year from Australia and Canada. And we review the nominations and we look at how many times a word or phrase has been nominated. And that's definitely a factor in which words we choose. We also look at how timely the word is or how poignant it is to what's going on now. And if a word is particularly timely or something is going on that it relates to and everyone is kind of talking about it, we may include that word as well.
Yeah, and it sounds like this one at the top of your list checked both of those boxes. The most nominated word this year comes from politics. Heard a lot of it in 2019, not likely to go away this new year. Tell us about the phrase quid pro quo.
Well, that phrase is really interesting because it's one that's been around a long time. It's Latin, of course, and it simply means something for something. It's a word, a phrase that dates back actually to the 16th century, and it was originally used by apothecaries whenever they were talking about switching one medication for another, either intentionally or even fraudulently. But as time passed, the word has begun to include the negative connotations that are now affiliated with the word, with the phrase. And obviously, it has to do with the impeachment hearings that have been going on and even predates those, I think, all the way back to July with President's conversation with Ukraine.
And this is not uncommon, actually, that people nominate words that are really relevant in politics.
No, it's definitely not. This is something that we've noticed a trend in the last decade. Since about 2016, we've been seeing words like fake news or echo chamber or post-truth. People tend to get pretty irritated with these phrases that pop up constantly in politics.
And so in this case, people are saying, you know what, this is overuse. We don't need to hear this anymore. Take it out. Make it go away.
Yes, absolutely. And I certainly agree with all of the nominators who nominated this particular phrase. I certainly wish I'd never heard of it.
Well, and I'll say the list that we have in front of us that you've released has it takes about three lines to explain quid pro quo and why this is one of the words chosen. But it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines of people and places who have nominated this. So it's double the amount of space that it takes up on the physical page with the nominators. So certainly it sounds like you saw quite a bit of response here.
Yes, absolutely. The way that the committee reviews nominations is that we get spreadsheets of all the words that have been nominated. Once upon a time, we actually received physical letters from people all over the country. I remember a couple of years ago, we even got a long letter from someone who was in prison who had a lot of pet peeves about language. So we get nominations in all forms, but most of the ones that we get now happen online from the form that we have on our website. And so we look at them in a spreadsheet and we can chronologically order that spreadsheet. And we just normally you see chronologically one word and then another word and then another word following that. But what happened in November is there were actually it would be quid pro quo, quid pro quo, quid pro quo. So we definitely saw an uptick in nominations.
It was just this pocket that bubbled up. Mary McMinn,
yes,
is an associate professor of English and creative writing at Lake Superior State University across the line in Michigan. And we're talking about LSSU's words that should be banished for 2019. You're welcome to join the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can tell us what words are driving you crazy because you don't think they're real words or because people use them the wrong way. Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas@wpr.org. Mary, you group these banished words into categories, and the first one this year is words that attempt to make something more than it is. What are the words that we see in this area?
So one of the words is artisanal, which is a sort of an advertising word that's being used more frequently these days. You'll see it often referred to artisanal water or artisanal sandwiches. And the idea is that it's just describing, this is what our nominator said, describing an actual person doing something personal for another unknown person, which really describes a lot of situations and isn't all that special. But I think, you know, people who are trying to advertise products like the way that the word sounds. And so they try to make it seem more special. So that was one. There were actually a number of words that were nominated in this vein. There were a few that didn't even make it. Like people were nominating handpicked or handcrafted. Another word that's similar to this is curated. And it's just a word that seems to be another attempt at making something more than it is. So people will talk about curated in Instagram profiles or Facebook profiles, or we could even say that the banished words list itself is curated. So a nominator, Barb from Ann Arbor, says, actually, save it for the museum.
That's where it belongs. Put it there. Nowhere else. What about the right? Go ahead. What about the word influencer? Being an influencer these days is an actual job, even though it may not seem like it to some people. Influencer shows up on this list.
Yeah, you know, I might be a little bit behind the times, but I'm not on Instagram. But a lot of people talk about Instagram influencers who get companies to sponsor them and then, you know, take pictures of themselves doing something with products or, you know, going to a particular event. And these people refer to themselves as influencers. Urban Dictionary says it's a word Instagram users use to describe themselves to make them feel more famous and more important when no one really cares.
Oof. That's a tough one. We apologize to the influencers out there if that hurts a little bit, but that's what we're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Urban Dictionary is a little bit cruel.
Well, you know, and sometimes accurate. In this just brief moment we have, do you think it's more about the word itself, influencer, here? Or is this one where it's like, we don't really like this trend, so we're going to banish the word influencer? How do we know?
I think a lot of these words that have been nominated are not only about the language, but also about something that's happening in culture that people don't like. You know, the idea of something being artisanal is, you know, a marketing trend that people feel skeptical of, right? And then the idea of influencers, people don't like what's going on in pop culture and advertising, and so they nominate the word that's affiliated with it.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Banished Words List Committee member Mary McKinn is taking us through the list of words people want to banish from our language, including influencer and mouth feel and chirp. Give us a call. Tell us what your pet peeve is in the word world. 800-642-1234. This is The Morning Show. Word Watchers Delight. It's that time of year when we talk about your pet peeves in the English language. Lake Superior State University accepts nominations for banishing certain words. They come from all over the world, and we have the official list of the words that drove us bonkers this last year. What else is there to say? I mean, It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina, and we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Are there any new words or phrases you've noticed people saying recently that you really hate or maybe really love and you've started using them yourself? Give us a call or email ideas@wpr.org. Mary McMinn is an associate professor of English and creative writing at Lake Superior State University in Michigan. And Mary, you know, you're part of the panel that chooses these banished words, and some of them come up because they are pretentious or imprecise. And one of the words in that group is literally. Where do we even start?
The committee was actually surprised this year. We weren't surprised the word was nominated because it's one of those linguistic pet peeves that has been getting on people's nerves for quite some time. But what we were surprised about is that we had actually never banished this word before. There must have been some kind of uptick in the use of the word because this was the second most nominated word on the list this year. The reason that people tend to get annoyed with it and what the nominators said is that this is one of the few words in the English language that has begun to serve as its own antonym. So the word obviously just means actually, but people have begun to use it for emphasis or even talking about using the word literally to describe figurative expressions. Which is literally annoying.
Right. Like, I feel like I was hit by a bus. No, if you were hit by a bus, you'd be in a lot of pain and we would see it. You just have a bad headache today. That sort of thing.
Right, yeah.
And I know that, I mean, I remember this discussion when I was little and hearing my aunts talk about this. So I'm kind of surprised that literally hasn't made it onto the list before now.
Yeah, we were really surprised, and we double checked and triple checked, and we have never banished this word. So we decided it's just about time.
Well, now is the time indeed. We want to welcome Dennis from Two Rivers to the conversation now. Dennis, what words would you ban?
Unbelievable and incredible.
Why?
When somebody says something is unbelievable or incredible, I figure, okay, fine, I won't believe it. Because that's what it means. It doesn't mean it's something great or something fantastic. It just means don't believe it.
Driving Dennis crazy. The fact that we're not using the literal meaning of unbelievable, he wants that out. Is that kind of thing something that comes across for the list?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people get annoyed with the fact that language words don't actually when people speak, they don't actually use the words for their literal definitions. They start to become hyperboles, and the meaning changes. And when the hyperbole or when the changing meaning starts to contradict or confuse the original word, people can get pretty irritated about that.
Yeah, that makes some sense. Mary Ann in Fish Creek emailed to say that she detests the overused phrase. But the fact of the matter is, when it's actually right in front of something that is more opinion than fact. So I could see how that would be very frustrating to hear, for sure, to set it up as fact. But really, it's just what you're thinking. What about this phrase, I mean? It shows up on here. And I mean is sometimes just how we talk. How is it being used here in a way that we should ban it?
So, it's not the typical sort of place filler or placeholder language that, you know, people say, you know, or I mean, or that's not what our nominator was talking about. What has begun to happen with the phrase I mean more recently is that when someone is talking and they make a statement, they follow it by the phrase, I mean, and what they want the listener to do is sort of fill in the blank and figure out for themselves about what is going on. And it usually I'll use another term that has been nominated this year. It sort of throws shade on the previous statement. Like, I could say, I didn't really like my Christmas presents this year. I mean... And then you would be expected to fill in the blank that, you know, I got something terrible like a fruitcake.
So somebody is just going, no, what do you mean? What do you mean? We just never finish it. We just let it hang there.
Yeah, just sort of trails off with, imaginary ellipses. And I mean, it's actually kind of a funny phrase. When people do it in conversation, it can be pretty snarky. But John Leisk from Alpina hates the phrase.
All right, and it made the list. That's great. Mary McMinn is an associate professor of English and creative writing at Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. And we're talking about this year's Banished Words list. You can join the conversation about words that drive you crazy that you would like to eliminate from our language for whatever reason. We accept all opinions here at 800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email at ideas@WPR.org. And Chris from Beaver Dam has an idea about a word that should be banned. Welcome to the Ideas Network, Chris.
Hi, great show as usual. Yes, I cringe every time I hear a talking head on TV use the word unprecedented for something that a quick review of history would reveal that it is not unprecedented. And then me and some of my codger friends have begun to say things like, I'm not on the Twitter book or the My Face or whatever to say that we're not on social media, even though I am in that age range to be on it all the time.
So a little tongue-in-cheek there, Chris. Thank you for those thoughts there. And Mary, we're hearing Chris talk about unprecedented, both because people seem to be using it improperly and also because we're just hearing it everywhere again.
Yeah, and there were a number of nominations this year along that vein, especially in politics, where people say that something is unprecedented or one of the only times, and people are frustrated that that kind of hyperbole is, getting repeated over and over just to sort of make things seem more important than they are.
Yeah, and let's bring in Mary from La Crosse now, too, who is kind of looking to one of a newer use of a word that's come up. Mary, what are you thinking about?
Hi, I told the lady person who answered the phone that I'm curious. I'm over 80, and I don't understand woke. I guess I watch too much TV. I even asked my 16-year-old grandson what it meant, and he couldn't explain it either. And the other is, when did a pound sign turn into hashtag? I'm not comprehending the use of hashtag this, hashtag that. Those are my questions.
Oh, thank you so much for the call, Mary in La Crosse. And Mary McMinn from Lake Superior State University. I heard just a small, almost giggle there. Sounds like maybe some of these things have come across your desk before.
Yes, actually, both the hashtag symbol and the word woke were nominated this year, although they didn't make the list. To answer your question, I think woke is a term that has begun to mean politically aware or sensitive to the needs of marginalized communities, and sensitive to caring about political issues that have been going on. So that one is one that didn't make the list, but that people are talking about right now. And then the pound symbol, standing for hashtag, that's an interesting one because it comes from the internet, and it is basically when you're on Twitter. Or if you're on Facebook, it works for Twitter especially. People will be talking about a particular topic, and then there will be a popular hashtag that relates to that topic. So what people will do on Twitter is that they will make their comment, and then they will use the pound sign to basically affiliate their comment with a conversation that's going on Twitter. So, for example, I'm a writer, and I often make comments about writing, so I will use the hashtag am writing. And so I'll just put the, I'll make my comment, I'll follow it by the hashtag and then am writing. And then what people can do is anyone else who is writing or who is a writer or who wants to have a conversation about writing can click on that hashtag. And what Twitter will do is it will filter all of the posts that have been made or the tweets that have been made recently. And then they will all show up under that hashtag. So it's a way to categorize conversations, sort of like librarians categorize books as having to do with particular topics.
Yeah, how interesting that that has really changed the way it's no longer hit the pound sign when you're on the phone. It's a hashtag, and that's really drawn from social media. Mary McMinn is an associate professor of English and creative writing at Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. And we're living our best life here as we're talking about the Banished Words list from 2019, taking this hour to discuss the words that we love to hate and why we just want them gone forever. What words and phrases annoy you? Don't be shy. Make your nomination at 800-642-1234. Our conversation about vibes and chirping continues ahead here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and it's happening right here on the Ideas Network. People have their reasons for never wanting to hear certain words ever again. They think some are pretentious. Others say we just can't use them the right way. And some on our list, well, we're just irritated by kids today. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina, and we're combing through the latest round of banished words from Lake Superior University. It's a tradition more than four decades in the making, and we want to hear from you. Okay, Boomer. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. You can email ideas at WPR.org to share the words and phrases that just drive you crazy. And Richard from Loganville is willing to weigh in on this conversation. Thanks for joining us, Richard.
Hi. Hey, I always notice when I go into a store, it's usually young people who are there to help you, and you ask them a question, and they go, you say, thank you, and they go, no problem. I'm going, well, of course it's no problem. You work here, right? You're supposed to help people. You're supposed to say, you're welcome.
Ha. All right, Richard, thank you for that nomination. Mary McMinn, you're on the committee at Lake Superior State University choosing these banished words. Does no problem bubble up every once in a while?
I don't know if that word has been nominated this year.
It might
year.
Be now.
It might be now, yeah. I'm just thinking back to the past day, and I think I've probably used that phrase like 20 times. So, yeah, I haven't thought about that. Maybe I should say you're welcome more.
Maybe, you know, switch it up. Try to keep things fresh. That's interesting. Thanks so much for raising that issue, Richard. Now we're going to think a lot more about how we respond to thank yous for sure. And if you're like Richard and there's something that just sticks and annoys you, you can give us a call at 800-642-1234. You know, Mary, I'm slipping in some of these phrases throughout our conversation here. And one of them that shows up is living my best life. What do people have to say for that as a phrase in our language?
So this is a phrase that, again, I've seen a lot online. This particular word was nominated by Gary Wheelock from Wixom, Michigan, and then Eric Park from South Carolina. And people are just tired of hearing it. As I understand, there's also a song that says living my best life. One of the nominators says, apart from reincarnation, are there options for multiple lives? Like, what do we mean when we say that? What is our best life? I think I have only one.
Yeah. So another moment where people are just parsing the language and going, you know, this doesn't make sense for us. There is an entire group of words on the list that come from younger generations and the internet, and people are taking some issues with some of them. One word in this category was popular about a half century ago. Vibes shows up here. How has vibes come back into the vernacular?
So this one is interesting. Whenever it came up, like I've actually heard my students say this. I teach creative writing and English at Lake Superior State. And the students are talking about this being not the noun that was popular in the 60s, like we might talk about good vibes, but we're actually talking about vibe as a verb. Like we went out on a first date and I really vibed with him. Or people talk about a vibe check to see how your vibrations are resonating with another person's vibrations. And our nominator, Leah Mockridge, said that this one shouldn't be used anymore unless the speaker is actually vibing.
Then it would be acceptable. But beyond that, let's take it out.
Right.
We also come across some abbreviations. There are a few of those, a couple on the list. People who don't like abbreviations might say totes and jelly. That translates to totally and jealous. Abbreviations are meant to be fun, but they are certainly not for everyone, as the list proves.
Yes, totes.
You had to do it, didn't you? I understand.
I did. Uh-huh. Yes.
And why? What is it about the taking totally down to totes or jealous down to jelly? Do we know what irritates people about that?
For totes, I think it's people are just saying that it's overused. I've now, having talked about the list with a few people, I'm now, when I see the word totes, instead of thinking totally, I've started to think about tote bags.
Very public radio of you.
Yes. And then jelly's interesting. We've had it pointed out that jelly doesn't have, it's only got a couple fewer letters than jealous. So why say jelly? Our nominator suggested that it's better left for toast.
We had David from Appleton call, couldn't stay with us. David says that is not a fan when people abbreviate ship as a verb to communicate a relationship. So it sounds like there's another instance where it's like, do we have to abbreviate this? Can we just say the word? I think David might also agree that totes and jelly aren't at the top of the list for things that David uses. So certainly other versions of that for sure, Mary.
Yes. I've never heard the word ship. I think that if someone said that to me, they started talking about their ship, I would be thinking, how wonderful that you have a boat.
Right. And they're like, no, it's my relationship. Yeah. It's always hard when you have to explain the word to someone. It kind of loses the impact when that's the situation that's in front of you. Mary McMinn is an associate professor at Lake Superior State University over in Michigan. And we're talking about the latest list of banished words. There's room for you in this discussion. Are there certain ways that we use words that annoy you? Maybe you have a least favorite word or phrase of all time. Maybe it's because we use it wrong, or you don't like the way it sounds, or you don't even consider it a real word. There's room for you to share what that is and why you just want it gone from our language at 800-642-1234. We're also on Twitter at WPR Mornings if you'd like to tweet us there. An internet meme, Mary, that's popular right now has also made the list. It kind of came up late this year. It's okay, boomer. For those who haven't used this insult or been on the receiving end of it, help us understand what okay, boomer means.
So like you said, this one caught on late this year on the internet, and it didn't get a whole lot of nominations before it caught on the internet as a meme. But once it did, we got a number of nominations for this particular phrase. And how it's used is that younger people, millennials especially, will respond to something that an older person has said. And instead of, you know, responding to the ideas in that phrase, they'll sort of throw shade on the phrase by saying, okay, boomer.
So it's like, you're a baby boomer. You don't really understand. So we'll just agree and move on.
Right. Yeah. So it is an insult, like you say. What's really interesting about this is that baby boomers are the phrase, or the, or is the generation that gave us the phrase "don't trust anyone over 30," and now they're on the receiving end of this particular insult. It must be particularly ironic.
Yeah, there's some karma there, perhaps. just yesterday, we were talking about this ahead of the show, and our executive producer mentioned that she's heard about "OK Boomer." Kind of people tried it, younger kids trying to use it against people in Gen X, and the people, you know, born in around the 70s and 80s are like, that doesn't really apply. You're kind of wrong. But I guess that kind of goes to the underlying point of some of the other words where people are using them the way they want to use them. And it's for effect, not necessarily literally saying, OK, you're a baby boomer and you don't understand mom.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's interesting about these phrases is that they get propagated through language, and everyone uses them, and they start to have meanings that they're, you know, the original usage that weren't affiliated with that. Someone called in earlier and was talking about hashtag, which was a nominated word or phrase that didn't make the list, and it's really funny. I have a 9-year-old daughter, and the other day we were talking and she said hashtag dog life or something like that. She didn't even know what hashtag meant, but she'd heard it used. And so she used it in the correct way. I'm not doing her phrasing justice, but I was like, how do you know about hashtag? And she says, oh, it's just something the kids say.
Oh, dear. Right. So not even using it in the social media context, but in normal language to make a point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
OK, let's touch on this one. What about mouthfeel? Mouthfeel made the list. It's kind of weird to say. What exactly is mouthfeel, Mary?
So this is a word that's used by foodies or gourmets to describe the texture of food or drink in the mouth. And this is one that there were a couple of words or phrases on the list that I hadn't heard of before the committee began meeting. And this is one that I wasn't familiar with. And the more that I thought about it, the more sort of strange that the word seemed. I mean, you think about when you eat, yes, you can think about the texture of food in your mouth, but, you know, where else are you going to put your food? Why do we have to say mouthfeel?
Right, exactly. Like, that's where food goes, so that's where you feel it. Do we really have to say mouthfeel?
Yeah, and it's all one word put together. It's a really interesting one. And sort of like the more you think about it, the more gross it seems.
Right, right. I had heard it before, but I hadn't spent a lot of time thinking about it. And now that I'm thinking about it, it's weighing on me pretty heavily here, Mary.
Yes, exactly.
Our guide to this round of banished words this year is Mary McMinn from Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie over in Michigan. And we're talking about banished words this first day of the year, some from the past. In 2005, "You're Fired" made the list. 1989, "Read My Lips." 2017's list included "On Fleek." What do you want to add to the banished words list? Call us at 800-642-1234. Still time for you in this hour-long discussion about banished words. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll talk to you soon. I'm Keely Voltina. Our conversation continues here on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We're talking about the latest banished words list out of Lake Superior State University. Our Michigan neighbors have consistently turned out a top list of words we just can't handle anymore since 1975. This year's list, though, is brand new, and it's expanding live with your calls. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. Do a quick vibe check and then pick up the phone. 800-642-1234. Tell us about the words you love to hate. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We've got a comment from Judy here in Manitowoc. Judy says her pet peeve phrase is "butt dial." It's used when a person misdials a phone number or calls the wrong person. Judy is not having any of it. Mary McMinn, I hear you laughing there. Mary McMinn from Lake Superior State University. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I think if we're gonna banish that word, we need another term for what is happening there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I've gotten those before, and there's no other explanation.
Right. I think it made more sense literally when most phones had physical buttons, and now that we've got touchscreen phones, I think certainly if you slip a phone into your pocket, you can still make that dial, but like a pants pocket. But I often find that I'm accidentally calling people because I hit it wrong with my hand, or it's in my pocket and I reach in for something else, or I even just drop it in my purse. So maybe we can evolve that language to even be more accurate in the future. There's an opportunity there, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe we could get the phrase to be maybe a little less crass.
Yeah, I think that would help. That might make it work better for Judy, too. And we will be taking more of your calls at 800-642-1234. And we do have one caller here from Spring Green. We'll go ahead and welcome Lisha. Is that right?
Lisha.
Oh, Lisha. Okay, sounds great. And what are you thinking in this conversation about words?
Well, irregardless makes me nuts. And it just sounds pretentious. And two other things, and I don't know if this fits in the category, but personal identification number. And I always say, okay, that's like saying personal identification number.
Mm.
Just say PIN, you know, and then vehicle identification number. You know, it's just vehicle identification number.
Gotcha. I hear what you're saying, Lisha. Thank you so much for that. And certainly the redundance of PIN number bothers Lisha. But also, I've heard irregardless come up in a lot of places when we're talking about words that people just don't want to handle, Mary.
Yeah, and this one is sort of like another word that actually made the list this year, literally, where the word... literally is a word that has become its own antonym, and people are using it to mean something that is the opposite of what it means. And if you parse the word irregardless, and I think this is what irritates people, ir is a negating prefix, and then regardless means, you know, without regard to. So if you parse that, it's a double negative. So that means it's a positive. So if we're saying irregardless, what we really are saying is with regard to, which is not what people mean when they use it.
Right. Absolutely. Mary McMinn is an associate professor of English and creative writing at Lake Superior State University in Michigan. And we are talking about the latest list of banned words. Got a couple more on our list. And there's still a bit of time for you this hour if you'd like to nominate a new word at 800-642-1234. Mary, I want to get to the word chirp. What does it mean to chirp? We're not talking about birds here.
No, we're not. So this one is a new insult for the non-millennials on the committee. I certainly hadn't heard of it before we started reading the nominations, but chirp is a verb that means that you're insulting someone. It's sort of like people talk about there are tweets on Twitter, and then you can have a subtweet where you're talking about something and sort of insulting it without saying exactly. So this sounds sort of like that. If you chirp something, you're insulting it. So we joked on our list that we might get chirped for being out of touch because we haven't heard this word before. Our nominator says that we should just leave it to the birds to chirp.
Do we have any idea if it is people in different generations, attacking the millennials or being annoyed with the words millennials and younger people use, or are people in those generations also annoyed with the words like chirp or totes? Do we have any idea if this is a generational clash or if these are just annoying words for everybody?
We don't actually ask our nominators to include their age in the form whenever we ask them to submit words that they want to nominate to be banished. But that's a really interesting question because, there were a lot of words that were nominated that are in use by younger people. And I'm not sure if it's the younger people or whether it's older generations who are tired of the words. And you know, maybe it's the boomers who are tired of OK Boomer.
Yeah, it could be. Or even people who are using OK Boomer and going, OK, well, this isn't cool anymore, or whatever the cool word is for cool these days. I don't know. Maybe I'll be chirped at. We also have one more caller we can squeeze in today. Jerry from Wauwatosa wants to join our conversation. Jerry, thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for your program.
Certainly. What's on your mind when it comes to the words?
Well, in my line of work, we are often doing maintenance on equipment, and I hear people say preventative maintenance, and I'm always correcting them and saying, no, it should be preventive maintenance. And I'm just wondering if I'm correct about that.
Ooh, I don't know. Mary, any ideas about if this is a situation where you can use both, like function and functionality, or is there a right or wrong answer here?
I don't know the answer to that question. I've heard both, though, and it might be that this is just, you know, an extra syllable that has been added in, or it might be that both words are actually correct. We had some nominations like that this year, like people wanted to get rid of conversate. And they want people to just say converse. So that's a common beef when sort of unnecessary syllables are added. And it certainly is, you know, true that you could just say preventive.
Right. And I'm not sure what that extra syllable adds, but maybe in certain industries it would make a difference. I know preventive and preventative are listed as one another's syllables. So, you know, I'm not sure how that works out or how our language adapts in that way. Mary, it's a new year now. Should we loosen up about language, or is it time for us to double down on getting these details right and sticking to the rules?
I think that in all honesty, language is always changing. It's really dynamic. The English language evolved out of other languages that preceded it, and the list is really about airing our pet peeves about how language is changing, or sometimes even what is going on in culture. People get irritated with the words affiliated with the things that they don't like, but the truth is that the language is going to change no matter what we do or say. I think the list is really fascinating, though, because it keeps track of sort of trends in language that people are irritated with, that people love to hate. And that is an interesting sort of project to keep track of, you know, like how do slang terms change and what are people getting sick of hearing?
Right. And do they stick around or do they kind of fade away eventually? Fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, some of the words that have been banished in the past certainly stick around. Like I know a couple of years ago, the phrase fake news was banned. And, you know, that's still around for sure.
Right. It hasn't gone anywhere. Mary, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for walking us through the list.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy New Year.
You too. Mary McMinn is an associate professor of English and creative writing at Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. She's also a member of the school's Banished Words List Committee. Just ahead, Indigenous writer and former Wisconsin poet laureate Kimberly Blazer joins the program to talk about her latest collection of poetry. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.